Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We're back on the show. Our Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We welcome in the head coach of St. Louis University, Josh Schertz, is on KMOX. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. I know you're immersed in basketball, but who you got in this Super Bowl? You going Chiefs, Eagles? Who you got?
I'm in Missouri. I got to go with the Chiefs. Plus, on a either a doink field goal to win it, or if Philly needs a field goal, a doink not to win it. So they've been amazing. What have they won, like 20 one-score games in a row or something? So I can't bet against Mahomes and Andy Reid for sure.
I hear you.
Really couldn't.
I am taking the Eagles, but I think that's a good call for you. My wife grew up in Philadelphia, so we are an Eagles household today without a doubt. Yeah.
Gotcha. Smart on your part. Can't go against a wife.
Yeah. Smart on my part. Did you grow up Jets, Giants?
I was a Giants fan growing up. So, my brother and I were always opposite. So, I was Giants, he was Jets, I was Yankees, he's Mets, I was Knicks, he was Nets. So, I was Rangers, he was Islanders. So, yeah, growing up as a kid, I was always, for some reason, we were opposites. But, yeah, I went to Giants games when I was a kid, and the Phil Sims era and Bill Parcells era was a pretty good one.
Man, those were some great times, weren't they? I mean, what a team that was.
Amazing.
Back in the day. LT running things on that defense with Harry Carson and everybody. They were the first to do the Gatorade dump. They're the ones who invented it.
Yeah, they invented the Gatorade dump. Those were amazing teams and full of characters and incredible. What the run they had there and that. Era. It was a good time to be a New York sports fan for sure.
And Parcells just commanded the room and the sideline. He is one of the great coaches of all time. What do you remember from him, and what did you learn from him, if anything?
Yeah, I just think he was a larger than life, or as a coach, he's still obviously alive, but it was a larger than life figure. I think the way he got guys to buy in. I think like all great coaches. He got guys to trust him, believe in him, follow him. He got guys to really be committed. The whole was greater than the individual parts, even though they had amazing individual parts. And they were just so solid on both ends of the ball. And like Andy Reid, they were at their best in the moments of truth at the end of games. To be an elite team, you got to be at your best when it matters most. And they were in not just the playoffs, but in those tight games that you got to find a way to get across the finish line. They were amazing in those scenarios.
Yes, they were. And, I think Giants, Yankees go together, right? Mets, Jets. That's pretty typical for New York. But I felt like, yeah, go ahead.
No, pretty typical. Yeah, my brother was on the opposite end. But, yeah, I got the better end of that deal and as kids, for sure.
Yeah, you did. And then I've always felt like, I know you mentioned Nets, and I know the Brooklyn Nets are out there, but tell me if I'm wrong here, but and I love New York. New York is, and by the way, I'm a Knicks fan. I need to say this about the Knicks. I grew up, my dad, one of his best friends, lived in New York City, and we didn't have an NBA team here, so when I was a little kid, I went to the Garden, I saw Patrick Ewing play his rookie year, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah. But this is how I've always felt, is that in New York, you have Giants, Jets, you have Yankees, Mets, you have Rangers, Islanders, et cetera. But when the Knicks are good, in Manhattan especially, they take over the town. They are the town. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely agree with that. The Knicks are, it's Madison Square Garden, the mecca, of basketball. You saw the game, with even just St. John's and UConn. That's just a historic, like I think probably as historic or iconic a venue as there is for basketball, and New York loves hoops. And when the Knicks are good, like you said, that era with the rivalry with the Pacers and the Bulls and then eventually it transformed the Heat, right? And with Riley making the move and it was just incredible. And nothing better than when the Knicks are good, like playoffs in April, May are about as good as you could be around when they're rolling and there's a big game in the mecca of college, in the mecca of basketball.
Have you enjoyed the A-10 so far? And I know you're faced with a lot lot of challenges here, and you're concentrating, of course, on winning basketball games. But the fact that you are traveling to the East Coast multiple times, kind of back in some of the areas where you grew up. Heck, your first game was in the Bronx against Fordham. I didn't really ask you about that, but that's got to be rewarding for you to be back up in there.
Yeah, it beats being in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Carbondale, Illinois, and Valparaiso, Indiana. I can assure you. I've enjoyed the trips we've won on a lot more than the ones we haven't. But no, it's the league is cool in that way, where you're in these larger cities. So being in Philadelphia for a couple of days, being in, we obviously Amherst is out there, but Massachusetts and starting, like you said, in the Bronx against Fordham. There's a lot of amazing trips, really good cities. It's a great league. I've been amazed going through it. I knew it was good coming into it. I mean, I'm not like surprised by that. I think I'm surprised at how good. And people look at it, I think maybe their perspective's different than mine. It's like, oh, well, there's just a lot of, mediocrity or whatever the case may be, or there's all these kind of, average, below average teams. Like, no, the reality is like St. Bonaventure was 12-1, Rhode Island was 12-1 non-conference. And, they have below 500 league. That's how good the league is. Dayton, Like, those wins were real, what they had. And they have, five losses in the league. And it's the opposite of me. I'm amazed at the parity of the league. And really, almost 1 through 15, there's not a game on there. You're like, we can basically, check that one as a win. Every league I've been in, there's one or two where you're at least where you could say, hey, we're probably going to get that one. This league, the parity of it, top to bottom, is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. So, that's been amazing to me. They said the most so far.
Philadelphia is a heck of a basketball town, man. It's just a different feel. I know we're talking about the Eagles today, and everybody's going to be discussing their football history. And, of course, we all know hockey and baseball have had their moments there too. But that is a basketball town to me. That Big Five, Penn, LaSalle, St. Joseph's, Temple, Villanova. You got to throw Drexel in there as well. I've never been to a game at the Palestra. That is something I have to do. I am absolutely going to do at some point.
I'd agree with you. I'd been in Philadelphia recruiting, but I never spent time there until we flew in, and I didn't realize, I knew they were close. They were all in the same city. I didn't realize how close. I mean, St. Joe's and Villanova, you could basically, walk to their campuses. I mean, everything is packed in there, is super close. And, great, great basketball city. And the Palestra, I agree with you. I've not been there either, but it's something I really want to do. And it's so cool, the way they do it, the way they play the Big Five and the way they schedule. And I think they play pickup all summer, and those five or six schools, like a different school hosts each week, and the college players get together and play against each other. So like, there's a level of, family, I guess, kind of a family atmosphere, familial atmosphere, for those schools in terms of they compete, but they play each other every year. The guys play pickup in the summer, and it seems like coaches, they spend their whole life in Philly, and Fran Dunphy is probably the best example of that. But it's like it's a really unique, I've never seen it in basketball, but a really unique setup and unique atmosphere environment in Philadelphia for college basketball.
It is. This is Josh Schertz, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. St. Louis is a great basketball town, and there's no doubt about that. We've seen all the great players that have come out of here, and we saw what the atmosphere can be like at Chaffetz Arena on that Friday night against Dayton. Take me to Philly, the St. Joe's game. I watched it. I still see some of the struggles that Robbie is going through. Just your overview of what happened in that game now that you've reviewed it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, it's been weird. I think, watch on film, the first 15, 16 minutes were pretty good. I thought our defense was a little up and down. Offensively, first 15, 16 minutes, I thought we were really good. I thought we attacked the way we're being guarded the best we have. I thought we Kalu was great cutting, playing without the ball, found his way to some easy baskets. Thought we attacked what they were doing well. Thought we had some breakdowns defensively. Got a little bit fortunate. They missed some shots. End of the half, couple turnovers on some plays, that weren't there that we tried to make. And then, Reynolds with late on a transition ball screen to be up to touch, and then he makes a tough three to end the half. But going to half, You know, first half, there was a lot of good stuff. I thought second half, you know, we got beat up on the glass. Thought our physicality, our effort, energy wasn't as good. You know, we're not the, you know, the most athletic team. We're not the biggest team. We're not the deepest team. We can't afford to lose physicality for a moment. I don't think our guys aren't trying, but, you know, I think there was points in the game where we got physically overwhelmed. I thought Kobe kept us in it. Obviously, you know, losing Gibb in the first 2 minutes of the second half didn't help things. He's obviously, you know, been without, in my opinion, you know, our most consistent player. And we shifted the zone to try to protect the guys. We had, you know, Kobe and Swope had 3 fouls apiece, and you know, we were down without Gibb to, you know, just one guard sub. So if those guys fouled out, we would have been playing multiple centers. So you know, it was kind of by necessity. And at the end of the day, we, you know, it's 61-57, under 5 to play, and we have a good look at a layup on kind of a fortunate bounce, and you know, we miss a layup, and to cut it to 2, Fleming makes a 3. We come down, get fouled, 1-on-1, miss the front end. They come down, you know, Finkley makes a bank a 3 that bounces off the rim and goes in, and that's kind of game. And you know, we've got to be better. You know, the reality is we got to be better. We know. I mean, it's we've been a no excuse team all year. You know, losing Gibb. I mean, you got to figure it out with the 8 guys you have, and we had a chance there at the end and didn't get it done. You know, certainly Robbie's got to be better. He knows that. I've got to do a better job of helping him. Same thing with Swope. But it's not just one or two guys. You know, we've got to be better in a lot of different areas. It doesn't get any easier on Tuesday night.
No, absolutely not. At least Kobe Johnson has taken the bull by the horns and has played really well when you have needed him. And there are some others, too. Dylan Warlick jumped in there. Max Picard jumped in there. What is the situation with Jimmerson? What can you tell us about his prognosis?
Yeah, so, I mean, he hurt his ankle, tweaked his ankle. You know, it was, you know, Gibbs about as tough a player as I've coached. So if he couldn't go back in, you know, nobody's going back in. He's not a guy that, you know, I've coached him now for, you know, whatever it is, 10 months, and 8 months, whatever it is. And he's never missed a practice, never sat out of a practice, never, you know, game, anything. So, you know, I know it had to be pretty significant. You know, he saw the training staff yesterday. We were off yesterday. The players were, and we'll practice today. So, you know, we'll see where he's at. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it's not anything severe. But I don't know that, you know, I couldn't give you if he's going to be able to go Tuesday or not. I would think that, you know, kind of see how he feels today, see how he feels tomorrow, see how he feels on Tuesday, and put him as questionable, and we'll kind of see how it unfolds over these next 48 hours.
Sure, appreciate that. And we'll check in with you when we get to the gym on Tuesday and see what happens. They're going to be playing George Mason, the Billikens will. Another huge game. I mean, they have one after the other at home. VCU, Dayton. Now here comes George Mason, 19-5. Just last thing here, a quick scouting report of George Mason. They're legit. I mean, you talk about some of the better teams in the league. They are one of them, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're in first place, 10-1. You know, it's a huge game for us. On our home floor, they're tremendous. Top 10 defense in America. They're big. They switch. They've got a bunch of, you know, I don't think they play anybody under 6'4". They're you know, massive in size. They got 2 big bruisers. The kid Haynes and the post is as good a big man as there is in the Atlantic 10. So we have our hands full. They're an elite defense, and they're an offense that, like, you know, yesterday they got it going, scored 82. Against Rhode Island and one big at home, but 10-1 in the league, in first place by themselves, and much like the VCU, it's on the same part of me as the, you know, the VCU Dayton game. You got one of the better teams in the A-10 and an NCAA tournament caliber team coming in, and we got to play our best. But certainly the environment that we had, you know, VCU, the environment we had Dayton, we're going to need our fans as well. And so the hope is, you know, our guys walk in and it's a great crowd. Should be a whale of a basketball game Tuesday night, and I'm hoping our crowd is as good as it's been because they've been spectacular.
Nothing
here,
better.
The last, you know, I mean, since conference play. I mean, going back to, we've had some big home wins with St. Joe's and St. Bonaventure and obviously BCU, and it's a chance for another one here against George Mason Tuesday night.
Nothing like a riled up student section and a big crowd, and hopefully that place is on fire again. Thanks again for doing all of this. Appreciate the time. I kept you a little long, but it's always great to talk some ball with you. I appreciate you. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, appreciate it. Always glad being on. See you soon, Tom. See you Tuesday night.
See you Tuesday. Josh Schertz, head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. When we come back, Steve Chapman, the CRO, CMO of the St. Louis Blues on KMOX.